Amen. If you have your Bible, Joshua chapter number 2. Joshua chapter number 2. Last Sunday, we looked at Hosea and his love for his wife, his unfaithful wife, Gomer. We saw that even though that Gomer had left Hosea, even though that she was out playing a harlot, the Bible said she was a wife of whoredoms, she was unfaithful, she was unclean, that Hosea still longed for her. He still had a love, a God love for her, that he wanted her back and he wanted to provide for her and protect her and love and show her compassion. And we saw how that was such a beautiful picture of God's amazing grace that was sung about here this morning. And you and I, despite our failures, despite our sins, despite our transgressions, how that God has extended his arm of grace to us time and time again. We saw in Hosea chapter 2, verse 14, that even though that God had, or Hosea had, or Gomer had left Hosea, and how Israel had left God time and time again, and Israel had went looking after other gods and looking for other ways and other ways to worship, that God still loved Israel. God loves you and I. Hosea still loved Gomer. And we saw in Hosea, if you would put it on the screen, in Hosea chapter 2 verse 14, that he said that even though they left her, and even though that Israel had left God, and even sometimes as we leave God and we disappoint him, he said, therefore behold, I will allure her. We saw how that word allure, he wasn't going to drag her back. He wasn't going to draw her back to him or force her back to him. He was going to persuade her. That we looked at that word allure, it meant to flatter. It meant to persuade. It means silly. He was saying, I'm going to flirt with her, to tell her how I love her, to tell her how much I mean to her. And not only that, he was going to bring her into the wilderness. He was going to lure her and flatter her and flirt with her to bring her into the wilderness, that place of desolation where no one was around, where he could spend time with her and commune with her and tell her all how much he means to her. And not only that, he said he was going to speak comfortably to her. And in verse number 15, it said that he was going to give her vineyards. And we looked at that word vineyards, how it was a type of Christ, how that vine would sprout up and it would shoot a vine to the right and a vine to the left. And the joy that the grapes bring, which is a type of the joy and the happiness of our salvation. And then he said that he's going to take that valley of Achor for a door of hope. That valley of Achor, that was the valley of troubles. The word Achor, it's translated troubles. It means disturbances. And we see, and I began to think about the word hope, how that Hosea wanted to take all of Gomer's troubles. God wants to take all of our troubles, all of our disturbances, all of our storms this morning, and he wants to give us that valley of, or a door of hope. Begin to think on that word hope and what all that word hope means. It means a earnest expectation. That word hope means a desirable outcome. But in Hosea chapter 2 verse 15, in your King James Bible, that word hope is translated cord. Gomer was going through troubles. She was sinful, unclean. You and I failed God. We're sinful, unclean. We leave him time and time again. We break his heart. We fail him. And he's telling us this morning that he wants to take our valley of troubles, our valley of Achor, our valley of disturbances, our valley of storms, and give us a door of hope. He wants to give us a rope. He wants to give us a cord is the word. He wants to give us a line. You say, preacher, this morning, how is a cord going to help me in my troubles? How's a line going to put me beyond my sins? How's a line going to help me through this life of storms that I face and the valleys that I'm going through this morning? We see in Joshua chapter 2, we find that cord. You won't find that cord in Genesis. You don't find that cord in Exodus or Leviticus or Numbers or Deuteronomy. But you'll come to the book of Joshua and we see this cord. Moses has just died. Joshua is fixing to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. They are about to cross the river Jordan, and Joshua sends out two spies to spy on the land. He sends out two spies to go and search out the inhabitants of the land. And just like Gomer, these two spies come face to face with the unclean woman. They come in contact, and they come face to face with Rahab, another harlot. She was unclean. She was in a valley of trouble. She was sinful and unwanted and cast aside by the ways of this world. And just like Gomer, Rahab needed hope. Just like Gomer, Rahab needed God. Just like you and I, Rahab needed, she needed a cord, she needed hope, she needed help through her troubles here in this land. Joshua chapter number 2, verse 1. The Bible says, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there." Let's skip down to verse number 10. Now this is Rahab talking. She tells the two spies, verse 10, she says, "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what he did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is the God of heaven above and the earth beneath." Verse 12, it says, "And now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token." Rahab asked these two spies for a true token. It means she asked for a sure evidence. She asked these two spies that you would give me a true token. You would give me sure evidence, a distinguishing mark, that when you come back to destroy the city, when you come back to conquer our land, that you would save my life. She was saying that I have been kind to you and I have showed you compassion, and it would do me well, and it would do me such great favor if you would give me a true token. I began to think about the true token. Wouldn't it be great this morning if you and I had a true token? If we had sure evidence. If we had sure evidence this morning that we were saved. Wouldn't it be great this morning if we had sure evidence that we were on our way to heaven? Wouldn't it be great if we had a sure evidence, a true token, that something could help us and carry us through this valley of troubles? Well, we do. Rahab asked for it. And I want to preach on the thought this morning, my hope is in the blood. My hope is in the blood. Look at verse number 15. Verse 15, it says, "Then she let them down by a cord." Here's her word. She let them down by a cord through the window. "For her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, 'Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned. And afterward, may ye go your way.' And the men said to her, 'We will be blameless of this of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Verse 18, behold, when we came into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. Rahab said, since I've showed compassion to you, I've protected you, I've hid you from the men of the city that found that you came to spy out our land. She said, I want to take this scarlet cord, and I'm going to let you down by the window. And she said, go to the mountain, and after you get to the mountain for three days, you can pursue and go into your land. The spies said, our life for yours. Now, that's a true saying. And they said, when we come back to destroy this land, if you will just put this hope, if you'll just put this cord, if you'll just put this scarlet line in the window, you and your household, your father, your mother, your brethren shall be saved. I began to think about this cord. See, Rahab's hope was in the cord. Her hope was in the scarlet line. Remember, that word hope means line. I began to think about what this hope was sufficient for. What it was going to do for Rahab. What it was going to do for the spies. I think, number one, this hope, this cord, this scarlet line was sufficient for her failures. You see, Rahab failed in her life. She was a sinner. She was unclean. She was unwanted. She was considered the lowest part of society. She was worthless, a trash, as they would think of her. And she was a sinner. But her hope was sufficient. Rahab, she was not a good woman. She wasn't a moral woman. She was not a woman that was highly esteemed. You see, Rahab was a sinner. You know, I began to think this morning, good people don't go to heaven. Moral people don't go to heaven. People that are highly esteemed won't go to heaven. Church members that are faithful won't be found in heaven. Those that tithe and give cheerfully and give to the poor won't go to heaven. But the only ones you'll find in heaven today are the sinners that's put their hope in this cord. The hope, the cord, the scarlet line was sufficient for all of her failures. But I began to think it was sufficient for the spies' failures. You say, what do you mean, preacher? You see, these two spies, and Jewish history tells us it's Caleb and Eleazar, the high priest, that went out to spy. And as they went out to spy, they were a picture of those that have been saved, those that have been chosen, those that were God's children. But yet they failed. They had failures in their life. And we all have failures on our Christian journey. Look at verse 1. It says that Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly. They were going to go secretly. A secret mission. Yet, you come to verse 2, and the king of the land had found out there were spies. You see, they failed on their mission. It was no longer a secret mission. They failed on what Joshua had called them to do. I want to submit to you this morning, I fail God. You fail God. We all fail God in our mission this morning. And I may be preaching to some this morning that you're saved, you're born again, you're on your way to heaven, you have that true token, that sure evidence, but you've failed God. You've made bad decisions. You've made bad choices. You've took the wrong path. But there at this cord this morning, it's sufficient for your failures. I see it was sufficient for her failures. Number two, I see it was sufficient for their faith. You see, Caleb and Eleazar, that high priest, those two spies, needed their faith to grow. And I can imagine as they were come back to Jericho, and as they went to spy out the city, and they came back to Joshua and told him the report of the land, and at that first day, as they began to march around the city, and they began to look, and I believe they began to think of how they failed God on their mission, how that Joshua said to go secretly. But as they began to march around Jericho, I can just see Caleb and Eleazar, that high priest, as they passed by that window, and they seen that red cord sticking out of the window, thinking, that's where God protected us. That's where God shielded us. That's where God healed us, hid us from our enemies. And I believe their faith began to grow. You see, they were going to face many enemies. They were going to face battles and the Moabites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and all the other enemies of the land. They were going to face it, and they needed something for their faith to grow. I believe this morning, if you're here and you failed God, which we all have, we can go back to that time, that place where we put our faith and our hope in the cord. You see, if it's sufficient to save our ever-living soul from hell, it's sufficient to get us through this weary and dry land. I bless His name this morning. We need to think about the time that Jesus Christ saved our soul. It was sufficient for their faith to grow as they looked at the cord, as they viewed the line. I believe it was sufficient for Rahab's faith. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Rahab, she was a harlot, unclean. She needed a true token. She needed evidence that she was going to be safe from death, safe from destruction. The Bible, when you come to chapter 6, tells us as they came to Jericho, and as they began to march around Jericho on that seventh day, seven times, and as that ram horn blew, and they all began to shout that the walls came tumbling down. And there, as they took over the city in Joshua chapter 6, verse 25, the Bible says that Joshua saved Rahab, the harlot, alive. Joshua saved Rahab. All because she had this scarlet line, this scarlet thread in her window. Did I tell you this morning that Joshua is the Old Testament name of Jesus? It means Jehovah is salvation. Joshua, Jesus, saved Rahab alive. And could you imagine as Rahab and her family began to march with the children of Israel, and they went from city to city, from battle to battle, all the gossip, all the looks that Rahab must have got. I can see as she's marching and traveling with them, people would say, well, there's Rahab. Do you know what she used to be? There's Rahab. Do you know what profession she used to partake of? Could you imagine Rahab, the gossip and the ridicule she must have faced? Even in your Bible, Joshua saved Rahab. Joshua, Jesus, redeemed Rahab. She put her faith, she put her hope in the cord. But you come to Hebrews chapter 11, that great chapter of faith. All those men and women that have trusted God and looked to God and put their faith in God. She's referred to as Rahab the harlot. In James chapter 5, she's not referred to Rahab, the great-great-grandmother of David. She's not referred to Rahab, that one that put her faith and hope in the cord. She's referred to Rahab the harlot. She needed something for her faith to grow. And I believe that she could look back to a time where she said, even though I was a harlot, even though I was unclean, even though I was unwanted by the ways of this world, that the God of all heaven saved me because of the red scarlet cord. You know, we may make mistakes. We all sin. And young people, I believe it's a good lesson for you that no matter the sin that you commit and how far you go and the muck and the mire that you're drugged through by this world, God can save you. He can redeem you. He can remove that from your account. He can wash you in His blood, and He can set your foot upon a solid rock. But even though you're saved and born again, the sins that you commit may carry throughout the rest of your life. But we can look back and look at the cord and remember the time that Jesus Christ saved our soul. It was going to grow Rahab's faith. It was sufficient for their failures. I believe it was sufficient for their faith. It would strengthen her walk, and it would strengthen her faith. And you know, we sing that song, "I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my heart were rolled away." We can look to this tonight and remember when Jesus Christ saved her soul. I believe not only it represents the failures, it represents the faith. I believe it may show us the far distance that one traveled. As we read about this cord, and as we read about this scarlet line, we find that Joshua sent out these two spies to spy out the land. It was a military reconnaissance. It was for his benefit to see the advantage or the weaknesses of the land. Yet they failed on this military mission. And at the end of Joshua chapter 2, as they come back to Joshua, all they tell Joshua is that the land is ours, we need to go take it, and they faint because of us. That was all the military reconnaissance that they received. They said that they're scared of us, they're afraid of us, and we can go and take the land. But I began to think about the far distance they must have traveled. You see, God had brought them out of Egypt. He had brought them across the, or through the Red Sea. He was going to bring them across Jordan. They would have to go across the mountainous terrain. They were going to have to go behind enemy lines. They were going to have to go behind and be pursued by the men of the city. They were going to risk their lives of being tortured and captured and put to death. Just to save one harlot. Just to save one woman that was unclean. Just to save Rahab. May I submit to you this morning that Jesus Christ came a far distance. He left the splendors of heaven. And He came to the enemy's turf. And He was pursued by Satan. He was pursued by hell. He was pursued by the religious sect of that day. And unlike these two spies, Jesus was captured. He was tortured and beaten and put to shame. He died on a cruel Roman cross. He was buried and He raised again. He went a far distance just to save one lost sinner. Just to save me and just to save you. I bless His name this morning for the distance that this scarlet line represents. I believe it represents that it's sufficient for our failures. It's sufficient for our faith to grow. It shows us the far distance that one would travel. But I also see the friction that this cord may represent. Can you imagine as she threw this line out and she seen them come on that first day to march around the city of Jericho? And these two spies told Rahab, the only way you'll be saved from death, the only way you'll be saved from destruction, the only way your family, your father, your mother, your brothers will be saved is if they're in your house and we see this scarlet line. If we can't see, and when we come and it's visible in your life, you'll be saved. You see, there was no other way. There was no other way to go and to leave the city and be saved. They're saying, this scarlet line, this scarlet rope this morning is the only way. It's our hope. It's our lifeline. It's the only true token you and I have this morning. Can you imagine the friction that that may have caused? I can see Rahab going to her family. I can see Rahab going to her friends of the city saying they're coming to our house. And when they began to march around the city, all we have to do is be in my house and put this scarlet line in the window. Can you imagine the people saying, There has to be another way. I mean, you're not doing anything. It's just a started line. It's just a piece of thread. It's just a cord. There has to be something we can do. We have to fortify our walls. We have to protect our homes. There has to be another way. What she was doing, I believe, they didn't think would work. What she was accomplishing by just throwing this out the window was going to have to be insufficient to be saved. I can see Rahab pleading with her family. I can see Rahab begging her family, just to come into my house and you'll be saved. Just to come in my house and when we show this red cord, everything will be okay. It's that simple. There's no other way. There's nothing else that we have to do. You know, this morning, it's the only way. And this morning, it creates fiction in the world we live in. Do you realize that Christianity is the only religion that we don't have to do anything? Christianity is the only religion that it's just by putting our faith, our hope, our trust, our belief in this red cord. I want to say this morning, my hope is in the blood. It's the only way. It creates divided families of the blood. It's divided nations. The blood divided religions. It's created a lot of friction. But I'm here to tell you, Fletcher First Baptist Church, it's the only way. It's the only way. There's a song that the Primitives sings that says, my hope that I have here in this old sinful world is anchored in the blood of the Lamb. The billows are raging and tossed to and fro. There's peace beneath the flow. You may be here this morning and you're saying that there's friction in the blood. There's need my faith to grow and my failures, and I need something that's sufficient for my failures. You can come this morning. The hope is in the blood. The hope's in this scarlet line this morning. I believe I'm preaching to someone that maybe has never been born again. It's never been saved or redeemed. You've done good works and good morals and a good person, and you're even here at church on a Sunday morning. But you've never put your hope in the scarlet line. You've never put your hope in this red rope. Maybe I'm preaching to someone this morning, you failed God. You're saved, you have that true token, you know there's a time in life that you've bowed and you've trusted in this hope. But you can come this morning. It'll be sufficient for your failures where you failed God. Maybe you want to come this morning and just say, Lord, I'm thankful that you traveled that far distance just to save one sinner like me. There's hope in the blood. This hope, this cord, is all we need this morning, church. My hope is in the blood. If someone would come to the piano, I believe we'll stop there this morning. We'll all stand. Do you have this sure evidence? Do you have this sure mark, this distinguishing mark in your life, this red cord, the blood of Jesus Christ? That's my question this morning. If you're not, you can come and have this true token, just as Rahab had, just as Hosea wanted to give Gomer. I hope is in the blood. Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning for the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the blood that flowed from your side there on the cross of Calvary. Lord, we thank you for the far distance you came just to save us. And Lord, Father, we realize this morning that it's not in the work that we accomplish. It's not our deeds. It's not our morals. But it's the work, Father, that you betrayed there on the cross of Calvary. And we want to thank you for that this morning. And Father, you know the needs of the congregation. You know they may be some that never put their faith in this blood. I pray this would be the morning they would see their only way out of this world is through this red cord, this scarlet line, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for those that may have failed this morning. I've failed you. Father, I've fallen short of your grace, your glory every day. But Father, I'm claiming the blood. And Father, I pray, God, that you would help us. And Father, I'm thankful that my hope is in the blood. We love you this morning. Have your way in the hearts and the lives of believers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Whatever your need is this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you just want to come to this altar and thank Him for saving you. Thank you for the blood that He shed. Thank you for the far distance He's traveled. Whatever your need is this morning, this altar is open.